Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tonight, minority turns into Vice President Dr. Bawumia, labeling the government clueless in arresting the free fall of the city.
We want to use this opportunity to urge the Vice President to quit his offbeat dancing on the campaign trail and focus on the dancing city. There's a lot awaiting our country as a result of reckless mismanagement by Alhaji Bawumia's government. In spite of the huge inflows of foreign exchange from the IMF and the World Bank into the Ghanaian economy, and I'm talking of billions of Ghana cedis, billions of US dollars, the government's action and its management of the city have continued to fuel steep depreciation with no end in sight, unfortunately.
With the MP set to return to Parliament on Friday following a recall for an emergency consideration, will the minority support a $150 million loan government is seeking to procure?
Is Top Story with Evans Mensa.
Well, the minority in Parliament today have been tearing into the Vice President, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, labelling the government clueless in arresting the free fall of the city. The NDC minority have been warning the woes of the city is far from over and that they, in fact, they say, the worst is yet to come. The city has hit 15 cities with traders warning they are passing on the cost to consumers, which will mean a significant increase in the price of goods and services. Addressing journalists in Parliament this afternoon, the minority leader, Dr. Case of Latil Forcing decried the impact of the city's free fall on businesses.
In spite of the huge inflows of foreign exchange from the IMF and the World Bank into the Ghanaian economy, and I'm talking of billions of Ghana cedis, billions of US dollars, the government's action and its management of the city have continued to fuel steep depreciation with no end in sight, unfortunately. So far, the decisions of the economic management team chaired by our Vice President, Alhaji Bawumia, leaves a lot to be desired. The reality of the Ghanaian economy today exposes the credentials of the so-called economic whiz kid, who was marketed as the savior of Ghana's economy. Alhaji Bawumia's credibility is now in tatters, completely tatters. The steep depreciation of the city has resulted in an increase in the prices of goods and services, as several businesses continue to revise prices upwards. This development would further worsen the plight of the already suffering Ghanaians. It is even more worrying and depressing to see constant media reports of escalating prices of goods and services as a result of traders' inability to service their loans and restock due to the rapid fall of the Ghanaian cedi. At this point, traders, especially importers, require more money to buy or import the same quantity of items that they could have previously purchased with less money. One can imagine the impact of this free fall of the city on businesses at Abosokai. In fact, at Kokompe, Okanshi, Mokola, Kejetia, and other major business centers across the country, including Edumako. As far as this is concerned, It is also important for us to say that as for those servicing their mortgages in Ghana in dollars whilst they earn CDs, one can imagine the sleepless night and the anguish that they are going through as a result of the free fall of the Ghana CD. I call it the dancing CD. There seems to be no hope in sight, as the managers on the economy have no clue on how to address the free fall of the city in spite of the hype over the years.
Well, today, if you go to the Forex Bureaus, it's now trading at 15 cedis to the dollar. My colleague, Sweetie Abotri, went to Bosokai. He's been talking to spare parts dealers there.
Yeah, you don't know, importing anyone from outside the area, but I am a mu. Since you importing anyone into who be here, see into me fire in Sicano and Quaman on it. You say, yes, sir. Yes, that's why I normally had to call that dollars. Now, dollar also a quinum pa, not affect you, Mano.
Saying they affect him.
Okay. Since I said dollar no quinum, you have to free to a guy or saying shipment no more, dollars, duty, dollars. What did I say? Anyone can sound so I could fire and say dollars. It's a costra, see the TBI importer no, I'll no confide the money by no. And so, no, he say, obey me, and yan and sicker, don't yan and fast wall. A bass I ain't retailers, no. Never say, yes, so a TBI to be tomb. Now, market, you know, I slow.
He's saying that when the dollar goes up or when the CD falls, they're unable to buy as much as they want to, and they're unable to even sell at the prices for which they can make profit. So if, for instance, you were taking 10 containers of product goods, you cannot afford to even get as much containers as possible because your money does not have enough purchasing power to do that.
But the dollar no epeja cost no sa oni amakra won to be ton ana nipa na e ba beto no sika no biwe another way be out dollar system.
Right. So not only are they unable to buy their goods, the citizens, regular, ordinary Ghanaians, transport operators, are unable to purchase these goods because of the hike in prices. Now, recall that the various transport unions were threatening to increase transport fares. And this gives us a sense of why they are doing that. Because if they have to buy these parts that they need for maintenance to be able to run their businesses at double the prices, and fuel prices are also going up, don't forget that. So at what point do they reconcile the business they're doing, make some profit, and then, you know, live some sort of comfortable life?
And that there is Sweetie Abotri from the Abosokai spare parts market. I want to bring in my parliamentary correspondent Kweku Asante, who was at that minority press conference, joins me on the line right now. Kweku, the minority, they blame the vice president for the current depreciation of the CD.
Yes, according to Dr. Kisela Tofosin, Dr. Mahmoud Baumia campaigned strongly on his economic credentials and has now run away. They are urging the vice president to stop dancing on the campaign trail and get to work to fix the city.
To use this opportunity to urge the vice president to quit his offbeat dancing on the campaign trail and focus on the dancing city. There's a lot awaiting our country as a result of reckless mismanagement by Alhaji Bawumia's government. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, you recall that when the NDC government was exiting power in December 2016, under the leadership of then-President John Mahama, the CD was trading at 3 cedis 80 pesos to $1, compared to the current 14 cedi 95 pesos asset to the US dollar asset yesterday. And I'm hearing that today the CD is trading at 15 $1 is trading at 15.05 as at today. Shockingly, but not surprisingly, the vice president, who doubles as the chair of the government economic management team, Alhaji Bawumia, has told Africa Watch that the city has performed better under his supervision. This is a palpable lie, of course. Statements such as this from Alhaji Bawumia have significantly damaged his reputation, as many people treat them with contempt it deserves. or at best, comic relief. Many businesses and households have questioned the voodoo conclusions of Alhaji Bawumia on the fall of the Ghana city on his watch. How is Alhaji Bawumia able to look Ghanaians in the face and claim that the exchange rate of 14 cedis 95 pesos to $1 in 2024 is better than the 2016 year end 3 cedis 80 pesos to $1? This is ridiculous and very embarrassing. The fact do not bear him out on the fall of the cedis, just as they do not bear him out on other matters, including the payment of nursing training allowances. It should be a matter of concern to the Vice President that while Ghanaians hold the constitutional office that he occupies in high esteem, same cannot be said for his words. Many traders and businesses continue to wonder how Alhaji Bawumia arrives at these absurd conclusions and continues to bare his chest as a manager of the economy. At a time that prices of goods and services continue to rise, purchasing power is on the decline. Businesses are relocating from Ghana, and many people have fallen into extreme poverty.
Kweku, did the minority offer any alternatives to fixing the problem?
Well, the minority say, of course, like they've always said, they are really on hand. The government wants some advice on how to turn the tide. But they've also been taking on some of the policies the Bank of Ghana itself has been implementing, which they also blame partly for the current city war. They say that if the Bank of Ghana is to withdraw those policies, the city will gain some strength.
Our checks, as of today, at the commercial banks and forest bureaus and businesses, suggest that the following are some of the reasons why the Ghana city is dancing. One, there is a strange policy on mixed cash reserve ratio recently implemented by the Bank of Ghana. Two, there's an increased unbudgeted fiscal spending, which is fueling demand for exchange rate, in fact, foreign exchange. And let me take this again. There's an increase on budgeted fiscal spending, which is fueling demand for exchange rate. Simple put, the government is spending off budget, so much that those that they are paying are using the money to purchase US dollars, and that is why the dollar is depreciating. There's again lack of confidence in the banking sector, resulting in currency substitution. Moreover, we've seen a lower cocoa production, resulting in the lowest export in 2 decades due to the mismanagement of the cocoa sector. There's an uncontrolled corruption, obviously, in the President Akufo-Addo and Alhaji Bawumia's government. We call on President Akufo-Addo to, among others, to one, order his appointees to release the effects that they have stashed in their homes to the public so that there will be enough forex in the market. We also call on President Akufo-Addo to adhere to the fiscal consolidation and curtail excessive spending. And we also want the president and his government to address the lingering issues of the cocoa sector.
And Kweku, on Friday, there's an emergency recall of parliament. That sitting is on Friday. Part of what the House is going to be asked to do is to approve a $150 million loan. The government is hoping that that will shore up the city somewhat. Did we get any clarity from the minority if they will be supporting this?
Well, Evan, the last time this came up on the floor, the minority opposed it. And that is what led to the Speaker referring back the loan agreement to the Works and Housing Committee to work with the Finance Committee to come to some conclusion. According to the minority leader, their position has not changed. They are still opposed to certain terms. After all, Parliament approved $200 million for Garrett and other such projects. But they say that they have not seen any evidence that government has properly expended it. And it's for that reason that they are still opposed to this $150 million raise.
I think we've not hidden our position on this $150 million loan. We debated this on the floor, and we made it point clear that the NDC minority believes that there's a lot we need to uncover before we proceed to whether we should approve this loan or not to approve it. This is because we have evidence and we've been informed that the first $200 million US on the same project, phase one, was misapplied. So we have asked the committee responsible for Western Housing and Finance Committee to do further work on that matter. The matter was debated on the floor. the speaker referred the matter back to the committee. We are yet to hear from the committee. And until then, our position remains the same. So nothing has changed, and let us wait for them to submit their report. I'm not a member of the Committee on Works and Housing, and they are tasked to visit the site and ascertain some information. Until then, we can't comment on that. But as to whether that will make an impact on the city, I don't think so. You see, we've enumerated a number of reasons why the city is falling. Already, the World Bank has given us a number of loans and a number of foreign exchange, amounting to billions of cedis, billions of dollars. The World Bank, the IMF, has granted us $600 million in the last 6 months. Where is the money? So you can get so much forex or foreign exchange, but if you misuse it, the city will continue to depreciate. So I cannot say that the $150 million will make an impact, because clearly, if almost $2 billion cannot make an impact, what will $150 million do? It won't do much. It will not do much.
Well, let's get out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Independent view of what is happening with the city. It's a matter that is causing a fair bit of agitation among the business community. We've heard from Guta yesterday. Today, a fair bit of the community, as they deal in importing goods and selling it locally, have been complaining about this. Professor Lord Mensah is an economist, joins us on the line right now. And Prof, thanks for joining me on Top Story. We heard from the minority predicting that worse is yet to come. Based on what you understand of what is happening, you agree with that view?
Yes, I do. In a sense that if you look at the current situation of our economy, we're more or less, indirectly fixing the exchange rate. We have stopped servicing our external debt, which indicate that the true levels of demand of the exchange rate is not, being depicted as expected. So if you take agent who demands, the dollar, which will cause the price to go up, we are looking at the government, individuals, and businesses. But then as we speak now, government demand is not a reflection of what it's supposed to be because of the external debt suspension. And so obviously, we are fixing, the exchange rate indirectly. So we're waiting for us to resume, our external debt for us to, get a true level of the exchange rate and then the build up into inflation numbers as well. Now, if you take, what is happening now, I would attribute it to more of the market sentiment rather than, the structural issues.
When you say market sentiments, what do you mean?
Come again?
When you say market sentiments, what do you mean?
Yeah, the reaction of, the next level of the dollar at any point in time. So if you are holding the dollar, as to whether to sell it or to hold it, depends on your anticipation on the dollar price in the next few moments or the next day. That is what is happening now. So we've gone past the structural issues, which used to be the balance of payment, crisis that we had, where our balance of payment depleted. So as a result of that, the dollar buffer went down. But now what we see now is more or less, what we call self-fulfilling crisis, where, the expectations of the depreciation of the dollar is now being realized as, a depreciation, because everyone who is holding the dollar is not ready to release it to the bank. And I can tell you that the dollars onshore is more than the dollars that are being kept by the Bank of Ghana itself. So the dollar is in circulation, but people are not ready to release it because they're storing it in a form of kind of asset because of the way, you know, it's moving. So it's speculations and market sentiment that is driving the city as we speak now.
And the minority's position is that government itself hasn't done enough to tackle the problem. And of course, they hang it around Dr. Bawumia. Now, what we're seeing right now, is it a result of mismanagement of the economy?
Yes. I mean, you don't need anybody to tell you that it is a mismanagement of the economy. You can catalog all the countries that we have, you know, bilateral trade agreement with, and you'll come to appreciate that we import more from those countries than we export to them. And that should tell you that we're not doing, you know, our best in terms of, you know, diversifying our export, in terms of ensuring that we move away from using foreign loans to manage our exchange rate. See, for the past years, if you look at the way we've been managing the exchange rate, clearly, it has been a temporary situation all this while. We've been relying on foreign capital from the Eurobond market, which we've now been priced out of the market. We've been relying on cocoa syndicated loan. We've been relying on remittances from, you know, our people who are out there preparing to bring something home. And effectively, that has been the way that we've been managing the dollar. And then sometimes other loans that we get from these Bretton Woods institutions. These are not permanent way of managing exchange rate. If you want to manage an exchange rate, you may have to look at the structure of your economy. Talking about, you know, your exports, how you diversify your exports, and then move away from the persistent fiscal budget deficit that calls for, you know, foreign financing. So from where I sit, I think, you know, it has to do with mismanagement, clearly, on the ground.
It begs the question, does it not? Are there any short-term fixes to this problem?
Well, the short-term fixes is what, you know, we're waiting for. That's the IMF money that we are waiting for.
But the IMF fixes. Money, the next tranche is just $360 million. Would that even make a dent?
We have been using that for the short-term fixes all this while. As we speak now, as of 2023, ending December, our balance of payment was around $260 million. They will get $300 million on top of it. I mean, it should be able to do something. But at the end of the day, that is not going to re-energize, you know, the pressure on the demand that we have as we speak.
I mean, let's put that in context. So even if we get this next round tomorrow, $360 million, we'll still need to spend, as it is currently, an average of $400 million just to bring in refined products,
yes,
as far as fuel, onto the market so you can, sure, buy your fuel at the pumps. That, yeah, alone is more than what the IMF is going to give us. That's just what we need a month. That will clearly not make the difference, would it? Considering that there's also a cap on what the Bank of Ghana can release onto the market to try and, you know, show up the CD. Because of the IMF program, there's a cap and there's a ceiling on what the Bank of Ghana is allowed to do.
Yeah, so we should appreciate that the IMF, you know, money, once it is released, is going to unlock other ancillary support. If you look at it from just numerical sense, you may not be happy with, you know, the numbers. But, you know, the ancillary support that we get once we get the IMF, you know, program approval from the World Bank, African Development Bank, you know, the credibility that goes with our agreement with IMF tries to unlock, you know, other inflows. And that is what, you know, we may be benefiting from. But, I mean, in a way, that is not a permanent solution to the exchange rate problem.
The permanent solutions, most people look at and say they are all long-term.
Yes, of course they are. But then that's how we've been, you know, managing the economy. We've been relying so long on the short-term fixes. And we've used the short-term fixes as you know, in place of the long-term, you know, fix that we're supposed to do. What do you think would have happened if we had, you know, planting for food and jobs in full swing? That would have reduced some food import. If what do you think will happen if we had, you know, one district, one factory in full swing as we speak now for the past 7 years? What do you think would have happened? It would have, you know, helped us diversify our export. So, I mean, effectively, we have been sacrificing, you know, the long term for short term in terms of fixing our exchange rate problem.
Prof, thank you very much. And that's Professor Lord Manson, the economist, on this subject of the free fall of the city that is currently becoming quite a challenge to many businesses across the country. What about you? What's your own experience with that? 055-111-1997. Newsnight in a minute.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.